Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Happy weekend. Wrote the song I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday, you know, and it's appreciate my pals over there at Pearl River Resort. We've had the best time together celebrating it. It's their theme song, and it's just been a blast with them. So shout out to them. But 'tis the weekend, so I'm wanting you guys to realize that, you know, you can take off a day and just tell them your back's hurt. Tell them I said it. All right, let's get to it. Time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Now I'm back focused. Superior Catfish is homegrown, produced right here in Mississippi, over there in Macon. And now Superior Catfish comes straight to your house. Head on over to store.superiorcatfish.com if you want it delivered. Of course, go to superiorcatfish.com. There's catfish. There's Superior Catfish. And, of course, so many outdoor things to do here in Mississippi. Tis the season for hunting and fishing. It's always the season. According to my big-time water-loving casting pals, they say they'll fish in any weather here in Mississippi. And some of the best hunting and fishing around is right here in Mississippi. Go to visitmississippi.org to find out a whole lot more. All right. Today, my guest, well, he's taking me fishing, metaphorically speaking, via the show. But I'm going to get him to take me fishing one day for real. Because his dad created some of the best jigs on the planet. They're made in Mississippi. Slater Jigs, a crappie fishing gear store. His dad, Eddie Slater, a seven-time crappie fishing champion of Mississippi, founded Slater Jigs many, many moons ago. Last time I got to talk fishing on my show, it lasted two episodes. It was with the great Bill Dance. So why not celebrate the innovation behind Slater Jigs and love of fishing, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree with his son, Jimmy Slater. What's up, Jimmy?
All right, Steve, how you doing today?
I'm good. I see that you are in the public library in what town doing your first Zoom call?
In Indianola, where Slater's Jig started right here and still is here in Indianola, Mississippi, Sunflower County Library System.
I love it.
My wife actually works here. She's assistant director. So.
Oh, there you go. So you had an easy in with the computer. You know, this whole Zoom thing and all that, I love it for reasons of now I can make records via the internet, you know, when all my gear is here, and the beauty is we can see each other now, and I don't have to go to Nashville or LA or wherever the heck I'm recording. I can do it from here, and it's just like I'm there, so I don't have to leave Mississippi soil that often, which is a wonderful thing, unless I'm playing my shows.
Right.
Do you love it? Love it. I'm a fan of Indianola. You know that. I got an album called Indianola. And once I put that album out, everybody on radio, when I was visiting him around the country, kept going, he's from Indianola. And I just said, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. All right, let's start talking about just the whole I want to talk about you growing up in this family with your dad and this family of incredible outdoorsmen, great fishing, and how the heck a lure gets started that has stuck around this long.
Well, I'm going to just kind of take you back on a little quick history. My daddy and his family were raised up in on the Sunflower River, and they used to operate. They had a little 110-acre farm, but they operated a ferry, Steve, believe it or not. It was called Slater's Ferry, and that's how you got across from Washington County to Humphreys County across the Sunflower River.
Wow.
And And as he was growing up, him and his daddy and brother and all, they trapped minnows. They had minnow traps. They were always something fishing oriented. And they commercial fished and farmed and ran the ferry. And so my daddy had a great interest and love for fishing. And then as he got older, of course, he started doing a lot of crappie fishing and brim fishing. And back then it was a lot of minnows. And anyway, as he grew, he got a job working here in Indianola for Mississippi Power and Light. That's what it was called at the time. Was his energy now. And he worked there for 26 years. But while he was working there, his love for crappie fishing was so much, and he went fishing all the time. But he started, a few people had these old rough-looking jigs out there, and he was trying to fish with them. And in his mind, he just started clicking because he was such a good fisherman. He's one of the best I've ever been around. He'd be best, probably, as far as just without instruments, anything, knowing how to fish. And so he was married to my mother, who was raised here. Of course, he was married. She was raised here in Indianola, and we live on the old home place now, the land out there where the business is, in my backyard now.
Wow.
But at the time, we were in Indianola on Hampton Street, and he was working for the power company, and he told my mother he'd been looking at these jigs and all, and he said he was doing little wiring jobs on the side to make money. And he told her, he said, I'm fixing to, make me some homemade jigs. And so he took $25, and boy, that was a lot of money then. And he bought a little jig mold and a couple of colors of hair and some bodies and stuff. And he ordered it, and with $25, and he come in, he started making some jigs and fishing with them. And so, but before he really started fishing with his first fishing trip, he goes over out from Moy, Mississippi. You probably know about Mossy Lake. You've heard
sure,
of it anyway.
Sure I have. Absolutely.
And it was, he got like 3 weeks vacation when he'd worked at power company so long. And he always took a week around Christmas to be with all of us. And so he goes over a couple of days before Christmas in December. And he said, I'm going to try these new jigs out. He'd done made several different colors. And back then, they'd put out two or three poles and they'd just stick them under their leg. Well, anyway, when he was putting the boat in, it wasn't but two trucks there. And one of them was loading up to leave. And the guys from Indianola told to my daddy, said, Eddie, you wasting your time, man. Said, said, we've been out here for a couple hours. We ain't got a bite. And daddy said, well, he showed us, I done made these little fishing jigs here, and I'm anxious to try them and just see what they'll do. Said, I've been tinkering with them. I want to see. So he puts a boat in, he motors down there. There's a boat still in the lake, and it's a couple of more guys actually from Indianola. He set up the ops and starts talking to them. They tell him the same thing. He said, we ain't caught nothing. And daddy tells him the same thing. He said, well, I'm going to try these jigs. He said, I've been tinkering with them. I'm making them. And I just, for my personal use. So he was going to fish with two fishing poles, and he was going to paddle and have the fishing poles on his leg, just kind of paddle around. So he takes the first pole and takes the jig on it, and he flips it out in the lake, sitting right there with those guys. We've been talking this time. He sticks it under his leg and goes to get the second pole, and first pole starts pulling down, and they said, oh, you done got hung or something. Daddy reached and grabbed the pole and pulled it up, and it's a big crappie. And they said, oh, my Lord, beginner's luck or something other way that jig. Anyway, long story short, he sat right there in front of them and caught 24 crappie. They ain't caught a crappie. And when he got through, they told him, both of the guys in that boat ordered like two dozen each of those jigs. He said, well, you make us some. And Daddy ain't had no idea about it. He said, man, I don't even know what I'd have to charge for him. He said, we don't care. We got to have them jigs. So anyway, he come home, and my poor boy made a couple of dozen for each one of them and sold them to him. I don't know what he sold them to him for, but he sold them. And
he didn't. I can tell you this.
Having other fishermen.
I can tell you this. He didn't sell them for enough. Right.
Probably did.
Yeah.
And then he had some other guys in town said, hey, Eddie, I've heard about those jigs. Will you make me some? Like I said, now he's working for the power company. So he starts making up jigs, and he had old cigar box, and he put them jigs in his cigar box. And every day when the power company would take their lunch break, it used to be a place here. You probably remember Weber's restaurant, right there by Weatherby Chevrolet at the time, John Weatherby. And anyway, that's where they'd always take their lunch break. And he'd go up there with that cigar box, and he'd sell enough out of that cigar box basically pay for his lunch, I guess, he just kept doing that. And then he decided a little later that he would, on part-time, that he would just, sell a few to bait shops. So he went and bought poster card, white poster card, and had a stamp made that said Slater's Jigs. And he'd stamp on top of that card, and he took his pocket knife, and he cut little slits in that card. And that's how he started off doing the jigs. And
wow.
And the bait shops were doing good with them. And
we're strictly in Indianola at the time, right? We're just staying in his backyard.
He called on some bait shops like on Lake Wash and stuff, you know, because he fished down there a lot.
Sure.
They'd say, yeah, give me a couple of cards. I'll try them. And then they were selling them and they were reordering. So then he ventures out and spends a little bit more money and buys them some little 2x3 plastic bag, little bags, poly bags, and starts putting them in poly bags. We go from the cut slots, the slits. So, you know, that, and then that's what we did, you know, and then we'd bag them up 12 to a card and he sold them and put that stamp on them. And
don't leave that thought, because I want you to continue on, because like you said, we're shooting from the hip on this show, which is really the only way to do it, because my mind never works. So it's always coming from the hip. Let's take a quick break. We're with Jimmy Slater, Slater Jigs, second generation. I love this story. I love how creativity. This is what Mississippi's all about. Folks dreaming up something and all of a sudden it becoming something that stays around for a very long time. Visit Mississippi.org. It's being celebrated today. All our great lakes out there to fish in, and it's just awesome. Superior Catfish is homegrown in Mississippi. You could probably catch Superior Catfish on these jigs, Jimmy. We'll take a quick break. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. I'm Steve Azar. Rocking into a Mississippi Minute. We're talking fishing. We're going fishing. That's what we're doing. I know it's not the hot summer and all that, but we didn't have any rain. My pond in the backyard right now, the boat's sitting on the dock, and there is no way to fish. And it is bone dry with weeds that are tall as me. And it kind of looks good. If we had flowers on the tips of those weeds, it'd be really pretty. But it's been a weird, weird two summers, and there is no fishing in my backyard right now. But we're working on it. We're working on it. Speaking of fish, the best fish you can have on your plate, go to SuperiorCatfish.com. There's catfish and there's Superior Catfish. Also, go to store.SuperiorCatfish.com. You can order it and have it delivered right to your house these days. It's a brand new thing they got going on. Check it out. Great folks over there. And visit Mississippi.org. We're going fishing today with them. You can check out the website, find you a great fishing hole. Sometimes those holes are massive. Like Lake Washington, we're talking about that, Lake Ferguson. I used to go to the Lake Lee bar pits with my Uncle Johnny back in the day, and we would brim fish or crappie fish, and back when I had time to do it, and I regret not getting to do it. Talking to Jimmy Slater of Slater Jigs today, which is homegrown in Mississippi and Indianola, outside of Indianola. So, Jimmy, keep going, because let's talk about how you go from selling out of a cigar box, your dad, to you know, going to some of these stores. Obviously Lake Washington, you know, he was a great crappie fisherman, and we know what our lakes in the Delta are when it comes to crappie. We have world championships here, big crappie masters tournaments all around here. Yeah. And it's a big draw for our economic development. You know, people come in, they spend money, and they spend a few nights in the Mississippi Delta or surrounding in our Mississippi, and they go fishing, right? That's part of the creative economy, and fishing is one of the definite examples. It's like music is for me, fishing is for you. So continue on this journey, because it's very interesting.
Well, and I'm going to go back to the journey, but one thing I've left out, before we started in the jig business, we also were in the live worm business. My daddy had 7 worm beds in our backyard, and we call what they call Slater's Wigglers, 55 worms to a box. And we did that for a couple of years before going in the jig business. And then flood kind of put aside the worm business. But anyway, so we've always been involved in the worm business, and the fishing business in some way.
Wow.
But anyway, when we go, I was telling you about the slits and the cards, and then, you know, just the stamps. So then we just started stamping those poster cards. We'd cut out the size card, and we started putting 12 jigs. It was always 12 jigs to a cart at that time, and we bought poly bags to make it look better. And these bag shots, we'd go
back,
around.
Back up for a second. I want to ask you something real quick. Stay there, but how old were you when all this was going on? And did you have, it sounds like you had some siblings that were all jumping into the family business at this time?
Yeah, I was around 10 years old when he really got into it and started, you know, selling them out of the cigar box and doing stuff. Like I said, the cigar box was before it actually became
right.
The company Slater's Jigs, of course, you know, it was just.
But you're 10 years old. You're a little
jigs
kid.
Eddie Slater made.
Yeah, so you're 10 years old. I mean, that's awesome. So,
I'm 66 now, so I've been in it a while. You know,
you're talking 56 years since you started.
But anyway, so, you know, it was even like a couple of little, but my daddy, we've gotten to know some of these bait shops through the worm business because we used to go, you know, deliver those worms to these different bait shops. So when we went into the jig business, or my daddy started the jig business, we still was calling them, like, there was a bait shop over there on Walnut Street in Greenville.
Sure. That's what we used to get all out.
Lake Washington.
Yeah.
And we would go around and Daddy would sell them. Maybe I'd buy two, three little cars, you know, say, well, yeah, we'll try them. And then we'd go back and say, man, I got to add some more of those jigs. People are liking them. So we just kept on working at it. And so finally, one day we were sitting there and Daddy, he'd done ventured out. And by then he was having a card printed, a black and white card. It had Slater's Jigs on it and black print, you know, white card. So we really thought we was uptown doing that, you know, so man, it just can't get no better. And, believe it or not, we get a phone call. A lot of people don't know this, but we got a phone call from Kroger over in Greenville. And Kroger used to sell sporting goods kind of like Walmart does now. You know, they were wide open. And a guy, Randy Kieber, was a manager. And believe it or not, you know Clyde McGee from The Sportsman.
Sure, of course.
He was a system manager.
I was there yesterday. I had to get one of these rubber wedding rings because my ring, I hadn't taken off I hadn't taken it off. I remember taking it off when my son was one and he's 29 now. And my finger has just, it got so swollen. I had to get it cut off yesterday by my buddy, Robbie Tonis here. And he goes, go to Sportsman and get you a rubber ring for a while. And let your finger, the swelling go down. So I was there yesterday at the Sportsman.
Well, Clyde McGee was one of them and they wanted to meet with Daddy. So Daddy goes over there and they had a big fishing show coming up at the time. They had different people going to be there, you know, going to do promotions for a long weekend, like a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they'd heard about our jigs, and they wanted to put some of those jigs in there. And they had people like Charles Spence, that was the inventor of the Strike King spinnerbait that Bill Dance uses now. He was coming there to do a speak, talk, and all. And anyway, after they got through talking, they told Daddy they wanted 50 cards, 50 dozen.
Wow.
And so he comes home, you know, and he says, man, we got to step up things. He said, they want 50 dozen jigs. He said, you know, we didn't think. So anyway, we said we got a couple people that helped us. And we know we had a couple, 3 weeks there to get ready because they were letting us know. And we worked on them jigs in the nighttime when Daddy would get off work. And my sister, which name was Belina, and my mother, Dot Slater. And
everybody's working now.
We was around the kitchen table at our house.
Yeah.
We'd eat supper and clear off the table, you know. I mean, here we go. My mama would be carding them, and we'd be making them and bagging them and tying them and doing all we had to do. And we got that 50 dozen done, and Daddy delivered them over there to them.
Yeah, but that's just one store.
That show was
That's just a one store. So,
right.
Hey, you know, you think about that time at the kitchen table with your family. There's no telling what you guys got to know about each other. Those are the precious moments that are priceless.
It was a family business and still is.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I could see you guys getting together, but actually talking about things that you probably wouldn't get a chance or afford the time to talk about. So that's the beauty in that moment, that not only were you guys creating a company that was going to have staying power, but you were also getting to know each other better. I mean, that was a triple win there, double win. So, and you got a good meal, so a triple win. So keep rolling.
Well, and so they had that show on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And on Monday, Randy Kiebert calls my daddy back up. He says, man, he said, look, he said, those jigs went over great. He said, it was a great deal. He said, we want to order 100 dozen. And we go said, oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we go out and my daddy finds a lady that he had known for a while. And he hired her. He talked to her and hired her to go to work for us. And so we decided we're going to start letting this business grow as daddy's still working for the power company. And so we got that 100 dozen and then we ventured out and more stores and bait shops and stuff started buying from us. And Then back years ago, there was an organization called Howard Brothers before they went out of business, kind of like the Walmarts or Kmarts or whatever. And Howard Brothers started buying from us. And so finally, my daddy told my mother that after 26 years with a power company, that he was fixing to retire from there and he was going to go into this full time. And that's what we did. And then, like I said, the Slater's Jigs actually started like around 1971 as far as actual business incorporated and all. And of course, Daddy was still with the power company through the first few years. And then They started, you know, back then, bass tournaments were real big.
Yeah.
You know, you had Randy Scott, different ones, you know, they were big promotion. Well, they started in 1974, they tried to form a crappie association here in Mississippi. And they did, and that's when they had these tournaments. They had like 8 tournaments. They had 7 regular tournaments, then a state championship tournament in Grenada Lake. Well, Daddy fished those tournaments with Slater's Jigs, and in the first tournament, he got beat by 2 ounces, finished second place.
Wow.
He won the next 6, along with his partner, Billy Joe Cross, who was from Jackson, Mississippi. He used to be the state game and fish director. And then after he won that tournament, they went to Grenada for the state championship and won the state. So they won 7 tournaments in a row, but then they just didn't have the sponsorship to keep it going
they've got now. Right. All right, let's take a quick break because I want to talk to you about that. And I want to know, was he crappie fishing the entire time with all these state championships? I imagine with his own jig. But let's hold that off. Superior Catfish, I'm not going to hold that off. I'm having that for lunch. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Homegrown and produced right here in Mississippi. And visit mississippi.org. We just heard Grenada Lake, phenomenal lake for fishing. And we can head up into the hills of Mississippi once we get past Grenada and make our way up in northeast Mississippi, northwest Mississippi. I can tell you there's tons of crappie fishing in this state. We're talking with Jimmy Slater. His dad, Eddie Slater, created Slater Jigs there in Indianola, Mississippi. I'm Steve Azar. We'll be right back.
$20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Jeff
Hospital.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Minute cannot contain 2 Mississippi guys. And we're going to do our best to stay within one confine of one show, the walls of one show. It's a difficult thing at times. But what's not difficult is your choice of catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Homegrown in Mississippi. They make it over there in Macon, Mississippi, close to Hell State. Also delivering to the house now. This is something brand new that they didn't do. Folks were coming there to pick it up if they wanted it, you know, just for their homes, and it wasn't being shipped all over the country and all over the world to businesses and restaurants, etc. Go to store.superiorcatfish.com to check out how you can order your own catfish and have it delivered straight to your house. And we're talking visit mississippi.org on steroids because we're in the lake, we're going fishing, and that is a huge part of the economic impact that has made people coming in from all over the world to fish in our crappie fishing tournaments for sure. And we've got Jimmy Slater for Slater and Slater Jigs. His dad created these jigs back in, well, way back in the day. Sounds like 1971 they got incorporated and they have not looked back. Getting to know Eddie right now has been a blast, and I appreciate him taking the time to celebrate something that was made and produced in Mississippi that has such staying power. All right, so your dad wins, they win the big championship, state tournament. Are they fishing with his jigs?
That's all he would fish with, you know, and Mr. Billy Joe Cross, which was a good friend of his. I mean, that's all they would do. And they would just, they had a certain technique, you know, everything was, it was one pole per person back then, and they was tight lining. And Daddy would be in the front of the boat, and he'd be doing the paddling. So Daddy, say if he's fishing with a 10-foot pole, was fishing with his pole 10 foot out. And they figured it out after the, especially after the first tournament, I guess, that they needed, they were fishing too much of the same area, one right behind the other. So Mr. Billy Joe started putting a cork on his pole with the jig on it, let out more line, and he could pitch the trees past, say, where Daddy was. So they were, that was kind of their technique, and they didn't tell a lot of people about it at that time because they were enjoying winning those tournaments. And
yeah,
like I said, that was in like 1974. And of course, Steve, now the crappies fishing has grown so much all over the country, all over the United States. And there's guide, there's more than just tournaments now. You have all these guide services, you know, they're on Grenada Lake, they're on Enid Lake, they're on Sardis, and they're on lakes in other states and all. And people, you know, you pay them just like you would going on a guided duck hunt or a guided deer hunt or guided anything, you know, that you pay those guys and they got places for you to spend the night, and or either they'll set you up in a motel, whatever. But a lot of them got their own lodges, and they bring you in there and they cook for you at night or whatever in the mornings.
Wow,
and they take
great?
You fishing, and it's turned into a big business now, crappie, you know, and it's kind of, it's right there with the bass fishing as far as everything goes now. I mean, it's, they got the sponsorship behind them.
You know, the piece, first of all, when you go fishing, you know, I talk about the game of golf a lot because it allows you the time to get to know somebody without, you know, you think baseball, ball's moving. You think tennis, you're moving. Ball's moving. Every sport that we play, basketball, no matter what, golf is the one sport, and hunting and fishing are the other two that allow you to really get to know people. Also, there's nothing more peaceful than sitting over, you know, in your boat, just sitting there relaxing, having a conversation that you'd never get a chance to have a conversation with. You know, sometimes it gets very deep and you get to know people at another level, but then there's nothing better than pulling fish out of the water. I don't know what it is, right? And I don't get to do it now. I don't get to do it because I had to choose my poisons as far as my luxuries of, you know, being gone so much on the road. There were times, Jimmy, when I was gone 300 days a year, and on the back of the bus, you were on the bus, you weren't playing 300 shows a year, you were playing about 170 shows, but you had to travel to and from, and sometimes you'd be a clear across the country and have to bus back, and that'd take a couple of days if you didn't have gigs on the way back to Nashville, and I just had to choose what not I couldn't do if I was going to be a family man, right? So, you know, and that's just the way it is for me, but I do remember all of those memories growing up, with especially my uncles and my brother. Older brother was a big time. He loved to fish. He loved to bass fish more. But my uncle would take us crappie fishing and brim fishing growing up, and we did it a lot. And I just remember the conversations that you were afforded to have because of being in that environment. So I love hearing that we have all these guides, and I love hearing you talk about the economy, how people come in, they're paying people to be their guide. They're paying to stay in these places at night on at Lake Enid. They're play, you know, all of the, they're paying for food over, you know, hanging out, buying gasoline. All these things are a product of our incredible lakes. You know, and I love the fact that your dad figured this out at such a, you know, especially in the years when he was going to retire, it gave him so much more to look forward to than just retiring.
Oh, yeah. And of course, he retired early, you know, because of this business. He could have kept going, but, you know, he when he felt like that Slater's Jigs could stand on its own, he was ready to retire.
Let's
and
talk
make it
about
even bigger.
Let's talk about when that was. So do you remember, you know, so you're 10 years old when this starts. How old are you at this point when he makes this decision? Well, this is a legitimate business. I can move on.
I was in high school.
So this wasn't much.
So it was in, it was probably in 76 or something, 75, 76.
Five years later, he's deciding that this business is time to go all in.
That's right. And then he steps back from Mississippi Pine Light, and of course, then I go on to college, and when I graduated from Delta State, I came immediately into the business with him at full time. And
fighting okra. Let's go.
We, you know, and then we built, you know, we even opened up a full line sporting goods store out on Highway 49 and in the NOLA Slater's Quality Outdoor Products. And And it was a 10,000 square foot building. And in the back, we had still had Slater's jigs. We was producing and selling those along with Full Line Sporting Goods store.
So you're like a Bass Pro Shop in a way, your own version of it. You're talking about after you graduate college, you're talking about like 1980, right? Ish. So
yeah. I mean, in the early 80s, right?
So you guys have got this massive place. That's a 10,000 square foot. It's a lot of square footage. What else were you putting in there?
Well, we had all kind of hunting and fishing products. You know, of course, the catfish industry was so super big then. We were selling just tons of catfish waders, fillet knives, Skinner. You know, we were doing it all with my freezer suits. I was calling on all the industries. And actually, believe it or not, the old seining wader that LaCrosse came out with, Daddy and I and the LaCrosse owner that flew in here from LaCrosse, Wisconsin, in the NOLA, landed at the airport. And the rep, we designed that wader one evening after 5 o'clock in that Slater's building.
So y'all
and that's how they came out with a seining wader.
Okay. You got to be kidding me.
No, that waiter was designed by us. I'm being serious right there. You know, where we had double fronts put on it, double foot to keep them. There's a lot of features on it.
Can you imagine where this epiphany of going like, I think I'm going to create me a jig. And now you've gone all the way to creating seining waiters. I mean, like, it's the American dream. It's the Mississippi dream, which is bigger than the American dream, if you ask me these days. I think Mississippi has stayed so level-headed. And we, you know, as a state and our folks are so hospitable. Don't get me started, but I'm jumping off the rails here, but you get me excited about hearing how something can start from something so small, right? Just a little passion project and turn into something that's affecting so many people in businesses. It's really remarkable. Do you ever look back and just go, wow?
Oh, yeah, and oftentimes. And, you know, at times I wish we still had our big store, but, you know, due to some health issues of a cancer I had going on 11 years ago.
God bless you.
You know, we decided to sell out of that and just keep the Slater's Jigs. And that Slater's Jigs, remember, it started in my mom and daddy's basically in the backyard.
Yeah, and then it made it to the kitchen table.
Plus in our kitchen.
Yeah.
And then now we've done a complete 360. It's in my wife and myself's backyard, my wife, Kay. And it's in our backyard, big shop back there, and we're still doing the Slater's Jigs. You know, we just got out of the Full Line deal.
It's just so great. Let's take
you know,
a
you
quick,
were talking about the Mississippi quick. Lake, Steve, and I want to point out one thing. If you don't mind. You know, back about 3 or 4 years ago, that one of these big magazines came out with an article about crappie fishing, and they listed the top 10 lakes in the United States for crappie fishing, and Mississippi had 5 of them.
Yeah,
out of the whole United States.
There you go.
And that's the reason so many people travel in here. You had Grenada Lake, you had Lake Washington, you had Enid, you had Sardis, and you had Arthur Butler.
Yeah.
And that was the five top out of the top 10. So people were and they still are. They're coming in here from other states, booking these trips. And of course, I've got some of these guide services that use my jigs, which I'm proud that they do.
Wow.
And, you know, keep them going. And I mean, it does. It brings in a lot of people right here in the Mississippi.
SuperiorCatfish.com. We're talking to Jimmy Slater. He's talking Slater Jigs. You got to check them out. We'll talk about how. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. We're rocking the lakes today. I'm Steve Azar.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
The One Body.
Lizzie's busy mapping way back to LA. I have one Christmas song, as you know, that I like to talk about, especially in this time of year. It's called Catfish Christmas. And you got to check out the video if you want to see Cat Cora, our Iron Chef from Mississippi, Jim McMahon from the 85 Bears, my buddy Terry Ahola, who was a U.S. ski team member, my buddy Danny Oberle, who works in the catfish business ever since he got out of Delta State. He's a catfish scientist, biologist over in Stoneville. His wife, Charisse, they're all there, and I call him Tweety. My buddy Danny's one of the best friends I ever had in my life. He comes and fixes everything that's wrong over here. Anytime I have to have something built, he shows up. He is unbelievable, but he knows fishing. He knows catfish fishing. So he actually played Santa in the video because he had to, and he brought some of his farm-raised catfish at Stoneville on to into Nashville. We stuck it, you know, we cheated and acting like he was catching the fish, but it was a lot of fun. So check out the music video as 'tis the season to get ready for the holidays and Christmas. And we're with Jimmy Slater today. Before we get back to him at Slater Jigs, homegrown in Indianola, Mississippi, we got folks in Macon, Mississippi producing the best catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. They're delivering to your door now. Go to store.superiorcatfish.com and you can have it delivered straight to your house. You can cook it up, put it on your dinner table, and it's that simple. Visit Mississippi.org. We're talking the lakes of Mississippi. Five lakes, Jimmy just said, out of 10 in the entire country. Sardis, Enid, Grenada, Washington, and which one else, Jimmy, was top 10 in the country? And Arca Butler, of course. So all of those places remind me of music venues that I grew up playing, because there were great music venues in every one of those areas. So I don't know if there was a little bit of a common thread, a great music, great fishing, but they were all next to each other. So I remember it very well. What the heck is it about Mississippi lakes, do you think, when you talk 5 of 10 in America, what do you think it is that crappie is so attracted to living down in these waters?
I wish I had a good answer for that. I don't know. Those lakes have always had it. Like in the last year or so, even Eagle Lake out from Vicksburg is starting to get on fire.
Yeah, Eagle Lake's awesome.
Another lake.
Too.
So that, yeah. I think that one may be next time considered in one of the top 10, but it's been on fire. And I mean, it's just, now our river lakes, like you were talking about earlier, the Oxbow Lakes, say Ferguson, Lee, yeah, Whittington, some of them that are right around here around us, we haven't had the production out of them the last few years that we normally have had because of our Mississippi River.
It's just,
you know,
best.
The fluctuation up and down, and they feed those lakes. You know, when they get real low or real high, it affects that fishing. But most of these other lakes, you know, are more landlocked or reservoirs, and they can control the water
stays
level
consistent.
And everything, and it just makes it so much better for the crappie. Bass and bream.
Is there something that, you know, and I should be asking my pal Ricky Matthews, he'd know, at Outdoors, Super Talk Outdoors. He's so big into conservation and everything, so big into fishing and hunting. You're going to be able to answer this question. Is there something that we're doing to make sure that those fish are still continuing to be there, you know, to spawn and to continue to grow and always be there?
Well, yes, they are doing it. Lake Washington, for instance, their production has started falling off a little bit in the last couple of years. You know, it was just producing lots of crappie and big crappie. But I understand that this last year, they at the end of the season, during the off season, whatever, fishing, they put like 80-something thousand crappie in that lake for stocking it. And I understand they're considering doing it again this year. So, yes, they are. The game and fish are doing a good job, I think, of monitoring a lot of these lakes. And when they think that they not seeing the production they want to see, or that they think that lake should produce, they are stocking them and doing things to help to improve the lakes.
To build these lures and to produce these lures and go out and crappie fish, and the feeling you get and what your family has created, I still have that desire and feeling from the first time I got inspired when I was 10 years old. So I was 10 years old when I got inspired to make music. You were 10 years old making jigs around a kitchen table, and the rest is history.
I want to mention, too, one thing, Steve. course, my daughter-in-law is working for me now. My two sons have got real good jobs, and they don't need to be doing this. But my daughter-in-law helps me. But I got a lady that's been with me, and this is a long time, 42 years, named Clement Williams. I'm sitting here doing this talk with you today, but I don't have to worry about it. She's getting my orders out. She knows our business backwards and forwards. She's my right arm, my left arm, too.
Big shout out. Clement,
there's a lot of people that have called right now. Says Clement still tying jigs for you, still doing this. I said, oh yeah, she's still here. Well, tell her this is such and such, and she always knows what color I'm looking for.
We're going to dedicate this show to Clement and your wonderful dad for being the innovator and creator.
My mother, but backing him up too. My mother has been, and she's still living. My daddy's passed away, but my mother's 87. Still living, and she was always a strong supporter of his. And I would hate to count the number of cards that she carded all her life till she finally got to where she couldn't do it no more.
It's all about our mothers and our wives and our sisters. The greatest women on earth, man. I'm telling you. Well, we've ran out of time. Jimmy Slater, thanks for taking a lot of time with me, a Mississippi Minute. Never enough time. His dad, Eddie Slater. Go to slatersjigs.com, right?
Right. And one last thing. If they ever want to check out something nice, go over to Leland, Mississippi, to the Wildlife Heritage Museum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My daddy is in that Hall of Fame. He was one of the first six inducted in there. But there's some displays on fishing and hunting in there that are unbelievable. And there's a good display of Slater's jigs, kind of a history of us there, too.
I love it. I love it. Billy Johnson smiling right now over at that Wildlife Museum.
That's
awesome.
A lot of
in Leland, Mississippi. SuperiorCatfish.com. Check them out. Great folks produced right here in Mississippi. The best catfish. And it goes all around the world. And it can come to your door now. Go to store.superiorcatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. We've celebrated the lakes of Mississippi. There you go. I'm Steve Azar.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.